Well, I hope everyone's having a beautiful Sunday morning, but what a great Sunday it was last week at the beach, and I just wanted to thank to all the families that participated in our very first ever Beach Olympics, and I also wanted to say thank you to all those who served through manning a game, right, or cooking hot dogs, or cheering the families on. It was truly a great day. And so today, we were in our prayer time before service. Something caught my attention. Something that was said caught my attention. And it was this, that the Holy Spirit at many times is forgotten. And I thought, that's very true. I mean, I think there's a lot of churches that don't preach on the Holy Spirit for whatever reason or whatever. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there's no way that the Holy Spirit can be forgotten, because in all honesty, we don't get to heaven without the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't even align our hearts and our minds up with the will of God without the Holy Spirit. So you may not be thinking about the Holy Spirit all the time, but there's no way he can be forgotten, because you don't function as a Christian without him. It is not possible. So today I want to continue sharing with you on the Holy Spirit. And I think that statement that I just shared is going to become more evident by the end of this message today. It sure has been for me all week. Everywhere I turn, I realize that there is nothing that happens in my life that is God-worthy without him. No salvation, no good works, no nothing kingdom-worthy without the Holy Spirit. Okay? So today, I want to specifically share with you about the Holy Spirit's role in weakness. Anybody got any weaknesses this morning? I know I do. Okay? So, we are all weak. We really are. We are all weak when it comes to living a life for God. And shame on us when we say, I can do that for God. I can do it. No, you can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. You can't. Oh, we can attempt to do good things. But as God's word clearly shares with us this morning, that nothing good comes out of us without the work of the Holy Spirit. So what does a life that is pleasing to God look like? Well, you know, a life free of sin and a life that is obedient to God. That's really why he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to free us from the shackles of sin and death. And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to lead us to a saving knowledge of him. And then the Holy Spirit works in our lives to enable us to live a life pleasing to God. Yeah, you need to understand this. Because at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes, right? It's what God's Word says. Without him, salvation doesn't happen, and a life pleasing to God does not happen. So the first thing I want to share with you, ask you if there's a place on your bulletins to take notes. If you're taking notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit helps us overcome our weaknesses. What is the believer's greatest weakness? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Right? We could look at the seven deadly sins, right? Human pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, being a sloth. Or we could look at our human tendency. Our human tendency to drift away from spiritual discipline. Paul said it this way, Romans 7:21 through 25. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of the sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, our weakness is the sin nature, right? Our weakness is the sin nature that every single one of us have. And just so you know, we're going to be dragging around that sin nature with us until the day we go home to be with Jesus. It's going to be there, right there with us. So our greatest struggle in this life is not just to avoid sin. You know, our greatest struggle isn't just, man, I just got to figure out how to avoid sin. I just got to always avoid sin. That's not our greatest struggle. It's not just to avoid sin. Our greatest struggle is to maintain a complete obedience to God. To maintain a complete dependence on God rather than trusting in our own strength, rather than trusting in our own flesh, so that we can actually do battle with that sin on a daily basis. Look, we all have weaknesses. I mean, if you cannot admit that you have weaknesses, those weaknesses and your flesh has already got you. We all have weaknesses. You see, again, if we cannot admit that we have weaknesses or we cannot identify those weaknesses, we are probably operating from our flesh rather than from the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the only way the Holy Spirit can help you with your weaknesses is if you are bringing those weaknesses to Him. We have to bring those weaknesses to the Holy Spirit, who is living in us, right? Or at least we need to allow Him to bring awareness to us those things that we struggle with. So let's dig into our main scripture this morning to understand a little better about the Holy Spirit's role in our weaknesses. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read to you 18 through 27. Romans chapter 8, 18 through 27 says this. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The next thing that I want to share with you, ask you to write down, is this. The Holy Spirit turns our groaning into hope. The Holy Spirit turns our groaning into hope. You see, Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Church, I know that there is a real problem of suffering and pain in our world today. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, there are people who are always going through stuff. They're going through stuff. They're suffering. There's pain. There's all kinds of it out in our world. But we are reminded that the pain and suffering in this life will not last forever. It will not last forever. We may have to endure suffering and pain for now, right? But those who are in Christ will enjoy a future glory. Amen? We will. And God's Word gives us some things to look at to understand this truth. One of the things that He shows us in 19 through 22 is the groaning of all creation, right? That's what the Bible says. The groaning of all creation. Romans, if I could just repeat that again. Romans 8, 19 through 22. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation who subjected... For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So here we get this picture. The entire creation is groaning under the bondage of sin, right? I mean, the whole creation is groaning under the bondage of sin, thanks to who? Adam's disobedience. Okay? So it says it's not even by our choice, right? We're born into sin, not by our choice. It's just something that happened at the fall of Adam 6,000 years ago, okay? But here's the thing that we oftentimes gets overlooked is when God finished His creation, it was a good creation, right? It was good. Genesis 1:31, God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And then there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. You know, but today God's creation, it doesn't look good. It's groaning. It's not a good creation. It's a groaning creation. We are groaning for good, right? We are groaning for the things of God. We are groaning for God Himself. We're groaning because there is suffering, and there is death. There is pain, all because of Adam's sin. This groaning that is happening isn't the fault of creation. That's what God's Word is saying here, right? The groaning that is happening is not the fault of creation, okay? And I get it. There's a lot of people out in the world that I get to talk to. And, you know, what's really getting scary and sad for me is you talk to a lot of people that have no Bible knowledge. There's the remnant of God in families is becoming less and less. So they don't understand why they need Jesus because, well, I was just born. I was just born this way. You know, God let me be born this way. No, well, one thing they need to understand, they're not born in the image of God. They're born in the image of Adam. They're sinful. Okay? And then there comes a time of the age of accountability whenever that is, when God says it is. Some people, you know, we could probably go and say it's 13 or something like that. But the reality is at some point we realize that we're not good. And then we start to want to be good. So again, this groaning that is happening is not the fault of creation. Let's look at the words that Paul used to describe the unfortunate situation that all creation is groaning about, right? So all creation is suffering, everybody. We're all suffering. We're all suffering from sin and death, you know? I mean, the reality is none of us, unless the rapture happens, none of us are getting out of this life alive. At least not in these bodies. Okay? Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay? Revealed in us. Okay? There's vanity in our world. Do you see any vanity in our world? I see it everywhere. Everywhere. There's vanity in our world. Romans 8:21. That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. There is pain in our world. Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. You see, sin has caused all creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it. At one time, it was good. And because of sin, the world is subject to frustration and very much in bondage to decay. The older I get, the more this scripture speaks to me. The body just doesn't work like it once did, right? The reality is there's nothing you can do. Don't get me wrong, you might, we want to do stuff to take care of ourselves, but there's no way that you can stop the decaying process. All because of sin entering into our world. I don't care how much people pump into their bodies in Hollywood or whatever, they're still decaying, right? And that's because of sin. Because of the bondage of decay. However, this groaning is not all useless. That's something that we need to see. This groaning is not all useless. Romans 8:28, and it says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Doesn't mean that we won't be groaning, but let me tell you something. God is at work. And God is going to bring good out of all things. Even when they're bad. Even when it's decaying. Even when I'm groaning. That's what I want you to see this morning. You see, Paul compared these groanings to the pains of childbirth. Now, while if my wife was here, she'd be like, you don't have a clue, pal. But I was there. And the reality is, in childbirth, there is pain, right? There is great pain. But there's something that's really awesome that I got to experience when both my daughters were born. Is there was pain, there was great pain, but the pain ended when the beautiful child was delivered. You see, church, one day creation will be delivered. And the groaning creation will become a glorious creation again. It will. The believer need not focus on today's pain and suffering. He or she should focus on tomorrow's glory. It could be here in a heartbeat. It could be here in a breath, right? 2 Corinthians 4:15 through 18 says this: all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Do you believe that this morning? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Church, today's groaning bondage will one day be exchanged for tomorrow's glorious liberty. We are going to be free. Someday we are going to be free from the sin and decay and everything that shackles us. One day we will be. The groaning of the church, it talks about in 23 through 25, right? Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, okay? That's identifying the church. It's identifying Christians. It's identifying a believer, right? We have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, right? The redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You know, the reason believers groan is because we've experienced the fruit, the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Amen? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We have tasted and seen what it feels like to be saved from the bondage of sin. And we have tasted and seen what it feels like to be freed from the destruction of sin and death. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. You see, when we took that first step of obedience, right? We took that first step of obedience in following Jesus. We cannot help discovering that He is good, and He is kind, and He is gracious, and He is loving. When we began the Christian life, our knowledge of God was partial and incomplete. But as we trusted Him, right? Over the years that you've walked with Him and you've talked to Him and you've loved, you've been in relationship with Him, you've loved Him and He's loved you, right? As you've continued to walk in Him daily, in your life, we truly experience how good God really is, right? He's a good God. So Christians have tasted of the blessings of heaven through the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't taste it unless the Holy Spirit is living in you, okay? I think there's some people who walk and get splash-offs. They do. I've had a lot of family who have walked with me, and they're like, man, you know, this Christian thing's pretty good, as long as I stay close to you. Because of the splash-off blessings, right? Until one day they finally had to put their faith and trust in the same God that I did. But we trusted him, and we've tasted the blessings of heaven through the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't know about you, but since I have tasted and seen, and I've read God's word, right? I've read God's word, and I've read about his promises of eternal life, an eternal life with him. I find myself longing to see him more and more. I cannot wait to receive that new body and to live with him forever and serve him forever right there with him. The other day I found myself groaning for his return. I find myself doing this a lot. I mean, I can have a meeting with a couple that things aren't great, and you know, and I just look at this life and I think about somebody, you know, I think about Danielle who's back in the battle again, and you know, and you walk through life with all these people. And then the other day I found myself groaning for God. You know, today, God, you could come back and just take me. Take my family too, right? Because I got to be honest with you, I got the opportunity to spend some precious time with my grandson Knox. And he's running around and we're chasing him, we're playing basketball, and, you know, we just had some good quality time together. And as he was running around and I was chasing him, he was singing and he was dancing and he was chasing me. And for a moment, God brought me out of that, and I started to reflect on all the challenges that that little boy has. All the challenges that he is going to face. You see him running through this church, and he looks like just a normal little boy, doesn't he? He's got Pompe disease that will never go away. If he doesn't get a transfusion, his muscles will stop working. He's been recently diagnosed with really bad scoliosis. It caused me to groan. It caused me to groan to my God, asking him to just return today and take me and Knox out of here so he wouldn't have to endure all this pain and suffering that this world is full of. And according to God's word, believers are groaning for that final day. I groan for it more and more. I love every one of you. I do. I love walking through life with every one of you. I love entering into your life. I got to be honest with you. I'd much rather be with him than being here. But while I'm here, I'm going to make the most of every day he gives me. But it still doesn't stop the groaning, right? You ever groan? Or is this life just all full of rainbows and unicorns? Nah, not in a Christian's life. No, there's challenges. There's hardships. We are not exempt of those things. We can't wait for the final adoption, which the Bible speaks of, which is the redemption of the body when Christ returns. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven. Is your citizenship in heaven? But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Church, this is the climax, right? This is the awesome and thrilling climax to the adoption that took place at our conversion. You see, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing. Catch this. If you have your Bibles, you need to underline it. You need to understand this. Having believed in Jesus as the Savior of the world, and that God raised him from the dead, you were sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing, God's word says, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Church, even though we have been saved, even though we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit has come to live in us, we still live in an imperfect and fallen world. And for the lack of better words, it sucks. It sucks to see my grandson and what he's going to have to go through. If I could take it, I would right now in a heartbeat. But you are going through things too, right? And if you're not, it's just a matter of time. Because you live in a fallen and decaying world. You understand that, right? This is not our home. Our citizenship is not here. Oh, I get it. I'm going to take the best care of this rental property that God has given me. But my home is with him. So while we still live in an imperfect and fallen world, and because I've tasted and seen how good and awesome the Lord is, I still groan inwardly, eagerly, eagerly awaiting my final adoption and the redemption of my body. And while we wait, God's word says we wait and we hope. We wait and we hope because we are saved by that hope. Romans 8:24, for in this hope we were what? Saved. For in this hope we were saved. Church, because we know that today's pain and suffering will one day give way to eternal glory, leads to my next and probably final thought for this morning. But come back, there's more. The next thing I'd have you write down is the Holy Spirit's role in our weaknesses. Romans 8:26 through 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Church, you need to wake up from your naps right now, because you need to hear what I'm getting ready to share with you in this final... This is probably some of the most encouraging words that you're going to hear. The Holy Spirit that is living inside of you. You believe that, right? It's what God's word says. He says when you were saved, you were sealed. And not just sealed, but he came and he came to live in you. Okay? God's not a liar. It's all through his word. The Holy Spirit is in you. I get it. You can't see him some days. There's days when I get up and I look in the mirror, and I've said it many times, and I can't see him. But God's word says he's there. So he is there. He is living inside of you. What you got to do is you got to hear that he's living inside of you, and he groans with us, and he groans for us. You know, it's crazy, because as much as I want to go to be with God and I'm asking him, take me, the Holy Spirit is praying something very different. He's saying, God line his life up with your will. His will might not be for me to go home today. His will may not be for me to go home in 5 years. But there's a lot that that my life needs to line up in his will, right? Catch this now. Because I think sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you, he's living inside of us, and all he's doing is just grieving all the time, right? It's like, oh, I just grieved him again. Oh, I just messed up. I grieved him again, right? I mean, that's what we think. That's what we get. Some pastor tells you about your sin and says, man, you're just grieving the Holy Spirit. While that is true, the Holy Spirit is not just shackled to grieving over your shortcomings. You see, sometimes we think that he's just in there, just ready to be that two-ton monkey that's weighing down on our chest that will not go away until somehow I figure out something, figure out what God wants, right? And we think this, especially when we are groaning in the midst of our trials and tribulations here on earth. But God placed the Holy Spirit in you. Catch this. God put the Holy Spirit in you to help you. To help you. He didn't just put him in there and say, hey, you know what? Just ride that boy until the day he dies. No, the Holy Spirit is living in me to help me, right? He is here to help me, especially in my weaknesses. Did you know God is concerned about your trials and tribulations in life? He is. He is concerned about the trials of his people. When Jesus was on earth ministering to all creation, he groaned when he saw what sin was doing to mankind, right? John 11, 33 and 38. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Speaking of Lazarus's tomb, right? And today, the Holy Spirit groans with us and feels the burdens of our weaknesses and our suffering. You know, we've been talking about this. We've been talking about, you know, the Spirit inside of me wants to do what is good, but the flesh, the sinful flesh, is trying to get me to do something very different. There is a war waging in every single one of us. But you're not at war by yourself. You're not. See, I think that statement before church is obviously probably evident in this room. We forget that God sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to help us. To help us overcome the flesh. To help us overcome sin and suffering. That I can suffer well. I love, I don't know if you've never seen it, you need to look it up. Bart Miller, I mean, the reason why he wrote O Death was because his father-in-law was dying well. It's like, O Death, where's your sting? No, I mean, you know, in the midst of a decaying world and suffering that we're going to have to endure, I don't know how I'm going to transition out of this life into the next. I hope it doesn't hurt too bad, but it might. I think we can suffer well with the help of the Holy Spirit who is living in us, right? You see, the Holy Spirit does more than just groan. No, the Holy Spirit prays for us. He prays for us in his groaning so that we might be led into the will of God. You know, I think Christians are always going, man, I need to know what God's will is. I just want to know what God's will is. Sometimes I don't know if we're capable of knowing God's will, but the one living in you knows. The one who lives in you knows God's will. In spite of the flesh that you are fighting every single day. Church, we do not always do. We do not always know God's will. And according to this scripture, so we do not always know how to pray, right? We go to prayer and sometimes we just go through that same old list. Sometimes we just pray. Here's the thing that's encouraging. In the midst of my fleshly prayers, I have one living in me that's praying right along with me. That's lining up my life and the things that I'm praying about with God's will. You sometimes wonder, right? Man, I prayed so hard for that person and they still died. And I prayed so hard for this one and they miraculously walked out. It wasn't you. It was one living in you. The Holy Spirit that knows the will of God. Right? So we do not always know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit intercedes so that we might live in the will of God in spite of our pain and suffering. You see, the pain and suffering that you are walking in, maybe some of you are walking in right now. Some of you are walking through some crazy stuff, right? You don't know how it's going to end. You don't know where it's going to go. Sometimes all you can do is just cry, Jesus. Jesus, I don't even know what I need, know what I want. I want you to know this morning that if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and He shares the burden that you share. The burdens that you have, the Holy Spirit shares with you today. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us today? Well, we all have weaknesses, right? We all have weaknesses, but God's Word encourages us that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The reality is we are weak. We are weak. Just because we are saved doesn't mean that we all of a sudden don't have weaknesses. I think if any, I'd like to smack any pastor that says that. Because all they'd be doing is setting you up for failure. We all have weaknesses. I've been saved 24 years. And some people be like, man, you should probably have it together by now. No, I still have weaknesses. I'm still battling this flesh every single day. Every day. And if you're not battling your flesh, I'm sorry. You're probably losing the battle to it. You're losing the battle to the sin and the corruption of the world because you're just going along with it. But the reality is we are weak and we have these weaknesses. And one of the ways that we are weak, and I need you to hear this. One of the ways that we are weak is in our ability to pray and line our lives up with God's will. You see, most of the time we are weakened by the trials and tribulations of this life, right? It causes us to pray, you know what, God? Just like I'm with my grandson, right? It would be easy if He would just take us home. It would just be easy if He would take me out of here today. That may not be God's will in that circumstance. That thing you're facing, and sometimes you don't even know why you're facing it. What is God's will in it? What is He trying to teach you? What is He preparing you for? Right? We are weakened by these trials and tribulations, and sometimes these hardships leave us without the right words or strength to pray, God's will be done, right? How many times do we really say, God's will be done? No, we pray, God, heal them. Heal my marriage. God, heal, do all these things. And yet we should be going, God, your will be done. Because what's God's promises? Does God want you to get divorced? No! You don't have to say, God, help us not get divorced, right? Because we know God doesn't want you to get divorced. It would go against his word. But what is he trying to teach me to make my marriage better? What is God's will in the midst of the circumstance and the situation? And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us. You see, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. That's what God's Word says. God searches our hearts and knows what the Spirit desires. There's a connection, right? The connection in me is not fleshly John. It's not, as much as I would love for that to be the case. Because, oh, look at me. The reality is, the connection that God has in my life is with the Holy Spirit that's living in me. He knows, right? It says, he knows what the Spirit desires, and it is what the Holy Spirit desires that God the Father grants to us. Because the Holy Spirit always prays in the will of God, right? So what is the will of God? That believers be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Just to be clear, when you read predestination in that verse, it does not mean that God's picking who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. No, everybody gets a chance to go to heaven. We are predestined and When he says predestined, it only applies to saved people. What is the predestination? That we be saved and that we, through the work of the Holy Spirit, helps to make us conform into the image of his Son. It starts at salvation, right? And just so we're clear, everyone has the opportunity to be saved. The Holy Spirit steps into our troubles, right? Romans 8:26b. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Here is something that you need to understand this morning as I'm closing. As a believer, you are not left to your own resources to cope with all life's problems. Even when you don't know what to say, even when you don't know the right words to pray, the Holy Spirit prays with you and for you. And you know what's so amazing? God answers. God answers. Church, with the Holy Spirit living inside of you and the Holy Spirit interceding for you, you do not ever need to be afraid to come before God in prayer. You know? I mean, really, we are, when we're too exhausted, right? When we're too overwhelmed or confused to find the right words, God knows exactly what you need. And God's Word encourages us that the Holy Spirit that is living inside of us sees and hears and knows our deepest groaning. And the Holy Spirit takes that groaning and translates it into prayers that aligns with God's perfect will. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that God knows my heart. He knows my heart in spite of how you may be acting. I mean, think about David, right? David, I mean, he was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet God said he was a man after his own heart. Was David perfect? No. Did David sin? Absolutely. But God knew David's heart. So God searches your heart and mind. He looks past your confusion and your ability to align your prayers with His will. But that doesn't mean that everything stops at confusion. Not at all. No, the Holy Spirit is still there interceding for you as your advocate. When you don't know what to pray, when you only have sighs and unspoken groans to offer up to God, the Holy Spirit takes those heavy burdens that you are carrying and He presents them clearly to God the Father. It is then that your prayers will align with God's will. It will. Because of the Holy Spirit living in you. I don't know if I'm capable most days to not be selfish in my prayers. But I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit living in me takes the right prayers to my God and aligns my life up with His will. Church, don't stop praying. Don't stop being confident in your prayers. We need to be confident. We need to be confident that even when we don't have the right words, even when all it sounds like is a bunch of groaning, the Holy Spirit inside of us is praying right alongside with us. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and I thank You for never leaving us. And never forsaking us. God, I know I can echo most of Paul's words when I don't know why I do the things that I'm not supposed to do, and I don't do what I am supposed to do too often. But God, I thank You for sending the Holy Spirit to live in us, to encourage us, and to line our lives up with Your will in this life. God, I pray as we leave here today, You will keep this message churning in our hearts and our minds. God, that it would cause us to dig deeper and to be confident in Your work in each of us. God, I pray now that You go before us. And whatever trials and tribulations come to us this week, God, that we would rely on You to get us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? I want to challenge you as you look. Philippians 1:6, right? Philippians 1:6, you probably all know that. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in Christ Jesus. We should probably look at that verse a little different. Because that's the reason God put the Holy Spirit in you. To get you to the end. To get you to eternity with Him. It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are saved. And it is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we endure till the end. Now may the Lord bless you, and I pray that He keeps you. I pray that He makes His face to shine upon you. I pray that He lifts His countenance upon you. And I pray that you will experience His perfect peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.